on the line with me is Ariella Novick. She's a journalist, a disinformation analyst, and a co-founder of Bottom Line Media. Before I cross to her, though, I want to tell you why it is that I'm talking to her this afternoon. So I have in front of me an article from Jewish Insider, and the title of the article is this: Jewish Democrats face growing prospect of political homelessness. And then they go into a whole lot of detail of what transpired recently in the primaries in Michigan. And that is the conversation that I'm going to have right now. Ariella Novick, thank you so much for being with me on Chai FM this afternoon. I can see that you are online with me, but I'm wondering if you are mute because I'm not hearing anything on my side. Ariella, I'm not sure what to do. I am able to see you, but I can't talk to you. And we're going to have a go to see if we can unmute you. Are you with me? I don't know what is going on here in the meantime. So while Craig kind of works to get Ariella on the line with me, let me go to the WhatsApp line and see what it is that you've got for me. Carol says, great music today, Simon, from Carol. Well, that is a really interesting take because I was thinking to a certain extent that it wasn't what it should have been. So thanks for that. You've made my day. I just want to check if Ariella is with me now. Ariella, have I got you? Not yet. Okay, so back to the WhatsApp line I go. And a reminder that I'm asking you to tell me what a faribel is. 061-895-1019. Rene says, a faribel is a grievance. The only time we don't have faribels is when we suffer from dementia. How superb is that? Now, that is getting to where I wanted you to take it, Rene Ackerman. Thank you so very much. I can see that Ariella is on the line now. Ariella, are you with me? Are we good to go?
I believe so.
Oh, I believe so too. Wow, nothing has made me happier than hearing your voice come through the air. I'm not sure to what extent you heard me talking about why we're having the discussion today or not, but it was about whether, in fact, the Democratic Party could still be a home for Jews in light of what's happened in Michigan, and I'm specifically talking about what's transpired in the Democratic primaries. I know that being or aligning oneself with the Democratic Party almost is genetically encoded into so much of the Jewish community in the United States of America that it is inconceivable to them to have another political home. Do current affairs maybe have an impact on that? And is there a shift as to how Jews are feeling at the moment?
Well, firstly, thank you for having me. Good morning here from the States. I do feel there's something called political homelessness. You might have heard the phrase. People feel, and it's a phrase I've heard many years ago. I go, what did you just say? And now it seems to be a more than ever popular term that many are feeling. Both, I would say, in both parties, people feel, you know, one way, okay, I'm a one-way voter on one item, but now what about the rest of it? So you have to almost decide, okay, so now I'm voting one way, which many do, but what about my other politics? Do they matter right now? So it's a matter of taking into account what matters most. Am I a one-ticket voter, or do I look at the full picture? Because then you even get more confused. That's number one. But number two is addressing the, you know, Republican versus Democrat. I think the answer really falls in line with the Democratic Party identifying who their key leader is now, right? So if you can identify who's representing you, then you know exactly who to stand with. And just to say, when I hear someone saying, oh, I'm a Democrat because, but I don't know who my leader is. And how could you be a Democrat if you don't know who your leader is? If you were a Republican and there's a representative and a leader there, then you know who is leading you. And that is why, in my opinion, somebody is a Republican or a Democrat, because it's not just the Democratic values, it's also the leadership behind it. So right now it appears that the Democratic Party is missing their key leadership component that makes up, that answers your question in a bit.
It does. What is not explaining to me is this groundswell of support for very extreme candidates. And I'm not talking at the leadership level. I'm talking at the far lower levels. And it almost seems as if it's been infiltrated is a word that I want to use. I'm looking at what happened in Michigan in particular. And I've got a note in front of me. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about people who on record as having praised Hassan Nasrallah, having made comments and then deleting them. I mean, how did you get to a point that the Democratic Party is now giving a platform to what was unimaginable 3 years ago?
So, just to give context, so Hudson Piker actually was stood up next to who is this platform gamer. It's a he's a has over, I believe, 3 million followers on a gaming platform called Twitch, and he stood besides and essentially representing in a way El Said, who's the candidate running for Congress in Michigan. Excuse me. And what's so distraught, it's so distraught to hear his talking points, which before we even touch on that, he's quoted to say that 9/11 should have happened. And then of
Should
course
have
he,
happened. Okay.
yeah. And then he went back on record to say, I'm, rejecting those words. Well, you said them, so you can't do that. Then of course he has also said that, weighing his opinion on Hamas versus Israel, and Hamas is, I don't want to use the exact words, I don't recall them exactly, but Hamas is better than Israel.
No, he said that
Hamas
Israel is as evil as Hamas.
as
Those were his
evil.
words.
And
I mean,
okay, there was another quote that also said something else that he had said in comparison to and elevating almost the terrorist organization. And just to say this out loud, and we all know this, but Hamas is the designated terrorist organization, and not just by the United States of America. How could you equate that? And he did not redact or retract those words. So just to put that out there. So it's anti-American, pro terror, pro-death, and that's who you want in your Democratic Party. It's quite alarming. Now, what's not surprising to me is Michigan, the makeup of Michigan, Detroit, and many of those areas there. There are a lot of people from different faith backgrounds there, and that's fine, and that's great. But having somebody say, call death to, death to America is acceptable, essentially, right? And that, terrorism, that group is elevated to the same level as a democratic country. Really? That's where is what? And I said this to a friend just yesterday. We were having a conversation, and I said to them, why is there no, you take your permit test, you take your driving exam. There's an exam you have to pass. Where is the exam to run for office? I just don't understand. They're putting anybody in there these days, anyone with a platform. And also, in addition to that, it's not just, a one-off where you see someone running for Congress putting beside them somebody on a major platform. We're seeing this trend, of course, with President Trump now in 2024. Before he won the election, he went on Joe Rogan's show. And then you see now also with the mayor of New York, Mamdani, he went with Miss Rachel to push his Miss Rachel, the person who sings to children, but also, is now in politics apparently, who went to the local schools in New York City to push the agenda of Mamdani, which is free school for 2-year-olds, and most recently brought President Barack Obama with her as well, with him as well last week. So where is this line between hatred and then education? And pushing a line of education within our school systems. And then, of course, then you have people running for office that are pro-terrorism. It's very confusing. So, back to your first question, when you say, people feel politically homeless, a lot of people do, and they all feel politically confused.
I'm going to make it personal just because my sister lives in New York and she's a dyed-in-the-blue Democrat. I mean, to the nth degree and couldn't conceive of anything different. I saw this coming and I remember having a chat to her about 2 years ago saying, are you not concerned about the changes in the Democratic Party? She said, don't worry about it. There's the Adam Schiffs of the world. There's the Josh Shapiros of the world. As you were saying initially, at the top levels of the party, at the most senior levels, there are very reasonable Jewish Democrats. They can't allow it to become a party of the crazy left. But it seems to me that that's exactly what it is becoming. And whether they want to or not, the infiltration is happening from grassroots, Democratic Socialists and the like, which is changing indelibly the nature and form of the Democratic Party.
It is, and it's making people feel like, okay, so either I vote one way or I'm not voting. And not voting is not being heard, right? It's actually acceptance. You can't just have acceptance. One must vote. It's a privilege. And I understand what you're saying. This is not a lost cause just recently. It's been a long lost cause for quite some time now. I was listening actually to one of the late night talk shows last night, and they had on a few different interesting political people, and they're one of them now is going to be going back to teaching in Minnesota. You can guess who that is. People feel lost, and he didn't have an answer to what we should be doing, what the next steps are. And as much as people want to take action, they don't know what to do.
The problem, though, is this word bellwether. I had to go and Google what a bellwether is. They're saying that Michigan is the bellwether for the rest of the United States. So what happens in Michigan doesn't stay in Michigan. Are you concerned, and is there any kind of pushback that you've read about from the party establishment, from elected officials, donors, activists, or are they just kind of letting this happen? Is there battle for the soul of the Democratic Party?
Well, that's a loaded question.
Fair enough.
What I'm hearing now is that, firstly, and it's a worrisome, when Mayor Mamdani won in New York as mayor, it wasn't just him winning to be a mayor, right? It was the representation of what he stands for. I'm not talking about his, you know, religious background. You can be who you want to be. It's his values, what he's bringing to the table, these grocery stores, these buses, which are not free, by the way, and not on time at all. Okay, so it's these stories, or his latest bill, which says that now they're going to be taxing the rich for the first time. I don't recall the name of this new bill. They're going to be taxing the rich, whoever makes above an exorbitant amount of money. And he's standing in front of this very rich guy. You have to, but the policy is that you have to be able to, I believe it was that you have to be able to live in that home 6 months of the year. And if you do, then you can get out of that. So he just has to say he's doing something to prove to his people, but guess what? It's not accomplishing anything. So do we want to be able to accomplish things and say, I'm going to do it? Or do we want to just sit behind, you know, a book and say, I'm too scared to do anything? And right now, donors are feeling scared to, you know, put their money behind someone because they don't know if they're the right choice. I feel people that are within the political parties are all going to be pushing now to say, okay, I'm going to run. But you can't all run together. So we have to pick somebody and outline them. And then I want them to explain to everyone why they're the right choice. And what they're actually going to do differently versus saying they're going to be doing. Because taxing the rich on a bill that you can get out of is not helpful. That's just showing face. That's not doing anything.
Ariella Novick, we unfortunately need to leave it there. I'm sorry about the technical issues we experienced at the beginning of this interview. But as always, thank you so much for speaking to me here on Chai FM. Makes a difference that you told me you have roots in Joburg. That kind of does the cure of a little bit. It's gone silent again, but it's great and it makes me smile and I enjoy it. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.